الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد محمد عبده ورسوله. It's a great chance to be here with all of you. The opportunity to come here to hold on one second, Hong Kong. Well, that's where they made the coat, so I thought it. Anyhow, the program tonight, it deals with the subject of God, and we talk about God in the English language using the three letters G-O-D. Oftentimes people ask us, how do you guys reconcile your God with God? And I say, you're using the same word twice. And they say, no, I'm talking about, your God versus God. So you're still using the same word twice. I want to examine something and think about it, but sometimes Christians and Jews may look at Islam and say, okay, you have your Allah and we have God. And to do that, I will give you an example of something that actually happened. Somebody said, why don't you guys say God like normal people? And that was, of course, in Texas. You could tell by the accent, I think. And I said, what? And they said, yeah, well, just say God like normal people. Okay. I asked them, so all the normal people say God. That's right. Okay. So is this the Christian God? Yeah, of course. Okay. Do all Christians in the world use the word God? I said, yeah. Well, of course, when I visit other countries, we all know that that's not true. If you go to France, for instance, they don't use the word God. That's English. Dora. Right? And if you go to Mexico, they use the word Dios. These are Christians, Catholics. In Russia, another name. Huh? No matter where you go, you've got another name for the deity that the Christians, I'm talking about Christians, are worshiping. The proof, and you can do this for yourself, any hotel or motel on the planet, when you go in there, in right next to the bed, there's this little table and little drawer in there. You open that drawer, there's a book in there. What is it? It's sure not the Yellow Pages. Somebody beat you to that. Well, they didn't want the Bible, they left it. But anyway, you take the Bible out, turn about 7 pages, okay? And you'll see right in there an example of translations to over 27 languages by the Gideon Society. And you'll see that in each example that they gave, they took it from the New Testament, John chapter 3, verse 16. And then any self-righteous Bible thumper knows that's the famous verse, for God so loved the world. All right? That's the one. Did you know the first language they give the example of is Afrikaans language, which is what? Very similar to German. You read it. Okay. Go to the next language, happens to be Arabic. This is Arabic, obviously for Christians, it's the Bible, and it says, for Allah so loved the world. Alif, Lam, Lam, Ha. So, what is the problem? You're saying in Arabic, Allah. But, now I'm going to come back to this, does it mean God? And I will tell you, no, it doesn't. It refers, absolutely refers to God, but it is not the word God in Arabic. There is a word in Arabic for God, Ilah. But there is no word in English for Allah. We don't have it. That's why we use the same word twice. When we say a God, Some of the people worship a rock, a stick, a stone, a bone. I could work that into some kind of little rap number, you know what I'm saying? Anyhow, I'll come back to that one day. Whatever is being worshipped is somebody's God. Right? You could say the God of money, people worship the sun god, the moon god, like that. And in Arabic, this would be their ilah. But in English, you're stuck. If you want to say God and the one God, you're still saying God again. Only what do? You put a big G. Well, that's nice, that is, except one thing. What if you're starting the sentence with the word God? God said, for instance, has to be uppercase, right? So it could be their false God, their idol God, you know. But you still have to put a big G. True or false? It's the rule of the language. So then you wouldn't know. Plus, what if you're speaking? How do I know you mean the big G or the little G? Do you like move different? Like when you say, well, their God is nothing but my God is, you know, jump up. My mother, who was a teacher, she basically had an answer for that herself. It's the way she pronounced it. Those are just gods, but we're talking about God. Okay. I don't know where that came from. But when we talk about Allah, we should know. You and I, as Muslims, should know what this is. It isn't just God. Allah has that as a name. He is Al-Ilah. That's one of His names, Ilah. God. But the name, His proper name that He calls Himself by is Allah. Some people said it means the God. That's what I was told when I came to Islam. If you hear any of my old original cassettes that we made back in the old days before CDs, you'll hear me say that it's Allah means the God. I didn't know any better. But it doesn't. Because if you want to say the God in Arabic, you say Al-Ilah. And in fact, the biggest expression that we use again and again and again for Muslims in the Adhan, in our prayers, is La ilaha illallah. Isn't that right? La ilaha illa Allah. That's what we're saying. There is no ilah except for Allah. Got it? Now, what does this have to do with my topic about worship and our purpose? What is our purpose? Well, now let's tie it together. There's a verse in the Quran which in Arabic is, let's see, it's Surah Al-Dariyat, chapter 51, verse 56. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, and we did not create the jinn and the humans, إِلَّا, which means what? Except for ibadah. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. This is plural of that, ibadah. Now, if you understood that, you might think, wow, that means we just go to like a temple or a mosque or church and just sit there, you know, and oh God, oh God, oh God, all day long, you know. Now I know my purpose. I'm just going to get in a corner of a building somewhere. God, 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 God. Do you think that's what it meant? We know better. Especially when we look to the rest of the Quran and we realize how important it is for us to do normal, everyday things. Everyday things. But when we worship Him and Him alone without any partners. And then in the normal, everyday things, we keep in mind that He's watching us and hearing us, as Sheikh said in the earlier program, knowing that all the time, everything about what we're doing is being observed by Almighty Allah. So this is our ibadah. It's from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep. from the time we're born until the time we die. All of that is going to be involving our ibadah, our worship to Him. Make sense? Okay, that's my speech. I'm done. That's pretty easy. But I could give you some elaboration. Would you like that? Okay, good. Glad you asked that. I've got it ready here anyway. Alhamdulillah. I want to give you an example of something about sharing Islam with other people. Suppose one day we were coming back from a lecture with Dr. Muhammad Salah and we said, "Oh man, that's so great, it's so wonderful, I'm so excited. You know what? We're Muslims, we need to get this message out." He was telling us today about da'wah, you know, calling the people to us. "I'm so excited. What do you think?" "Yeah, you're in your tent." "Yeah." And we're cruising along in our old pickup or car, whatever we got, zzz, moving, you know, down the road. And all of a sudden we see this guy, he's hitchhiking. And we go, "Hey, there's our chance. You know, we'll get him in captive audience and we'll pounce on him, you know." "Yeah, you want to ride, buddy? Get in." "Okay, we're going down the road. By the way, you believe in God?" "Yeah, I believe in God." Okay, did you know God is one?" "Yes, there's only one God." "You really?" "Yes, only one God. No God but Him? That's it. One God." "And you don't worship anybody but God?" "That's right. One God." "And Jesus isn't God?" "Right, of course everybody knows that." "Oh, cool. Well, just say there's no God but God. But say, I swear." "Okay, I swear there's no God but God." "That's it, we give shout. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." "Okay." But then all of a sudden he said, "Stop the car." "Okay." Stop the car. He jumps out. He runs across the field. There's a giant pine tree there, okay? Or palm tree, depending on what part of the world you want to tell the story. Anyway, and he goes running out to the tree and he goes down on the ground like that. You're like, "What the heck was that all about?" Then he comes back and gets in the car. You're like, "Excuse me, what was that?" "Just worshiping God." "Okay, what did that tree have to do with it?" "That was God." "There's one, right? Huh? Oops. Oops." You know, we missed some points in the story, didn't we? Huh? So it's real simple. I hear some brothers tell me this. They say, "Well, we went out today, we gave 21 shahadas." I said, "Mashallah. Where?" "Just walking up and down the street. Just stop people and ask them, 'You believe there's God?'" "Yeah." "Is He one?" "Yep." "Okay, say, 'I believe there's only one God.'" Shahada number one. Pretty cool. By the way, you might be surprised. According to the Hindu belief, there are literally millions of gods. Literally millions of gods, according to Hindu belief. But yet, if you ask them, "Is God one?" they'll say, "Yes, of course. There's only one God." And even some of the New Age people, they'll say, "Of course there's only one God. Everybody knows that. Everything is God." "What? Yeah, I'm God, you're God, everything's God." Say, "You mean even a cockroach is God?" Then you run into another area when we start talking about who is God, is where is God? Huh? Anybody ever ask you that? Where is God? What would you say? Somebody asks you, "Well, you believe there's God?" "Yeah." "Where is He?" "Where's God?" What would most people say? Tell me. Everywhere. Huh?
"Only there."
Huh? "Everywhere." "Yeah." How many of you think that's a good answer? God's everywhere. Raise your hand. It's a good answer? How many of you think there's a big problem with that? Raise your hand. Whoa, not everybody here is agreeing on that, are they? Mm-hmm. Hey. Let's use our brain for a second. If you say God is everywhere, I will ask you, then does that mean every single place? Everywhere? Or just some places?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Totally everywhere. Yeah? So God is like in a rainbow? The clouds? The moon at night? The sun? Get sunglasses. Your toilet? HIV virus? Radiation? Whoops. Now what do you think? When we talk about Allah Almighty, do we consider Allah greater than the creation? Yes or no?
Yes.
Then how could He be the creation at the same time? Huh? Because if you do that, you're going to be playing a game with, well, yeah, because, see, the one is the one that's over here, but then the other one is the one that's over here, so but the one and the one is actually still one. Now, there is a religion like that, but they got another one that comes after that, but let's don't go there. Because you could say, well, you know, the one and the one and these two are one. You know what we're talking about. How about this? Everything that exists that we know of, that's where we are. We're in that. What is that called? English. Universe. Right or wrong? Is it? Okay. Does the universe change? Is the universe moving? Changing? All the time, constantly. So does God change? Or is He constant? Is God like the creation or unlike the creation? So then I think you're starting to see that doesn't work. And in fact, let's just ask Allah to tell us about Himself. The ayah that I love to use as an example is one of the most famous ayahs through the whole Quran. In fact, if I say ayatul, what's the rest of it? Kursi. Ayatul Kursi. Because everybody knows this ayah, I think. Look what Allah said. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Allahu la ilaha illahu. God Almighty Allah. I'm going to use it like that. He is the one beside whom there is none other to worship. Al-Hayyu Qayyum. Al-Hayy. Hayy means, that's one of his names, Al-Hayy. The living. Always living. Eternally living. Because every one of his names is the epitome of that characteristic. What does epitome mean? It means the absolute. He's absolute. So when you say He is Al-Hayy, you didn't say He is Hayy. You said He is the Al-Hayy. He's the living. Means what? He could never be dead. He didn't have a time when He came into being, and He doesn't have a time when He won't be anymore. He's eternal, forever. And two of His names, Al-Awwal wa Al-Akhir. The beginning, the end, and or after actually, and there's no in between. It's just always Allah. Always. Is Allah always? Yes? Don't compare Him to the creation, because creation is not always. You know, it's almost, if you really think about it, it's really silly. Even a human being said, I got an idea. I want to, I'm going to create this thing. I'm going to make it like this. Here's the schematic for it. Yeah, okay. It's like this and this and so and so. And I made this thing now. Let's put it together and put a bunch of wires in it. And we'll call it a computer. Okay. Now, if there's any problem with this computer, do I have to become the computer to fix it? What? That's crazy. That doesn't make any sense, does it? No. Likewise, Allah created the whole universe. But in a way that's way beyond anything we can even comprehend. Because when we made our little thing that we created, we used what Allah already created to make it, right? He made the universe out of nothing. Let's look and see what He said about that. When He talks about who He is and who He's not, He also tells us Lesa Kamithli Hishayin. Bohua Samyum Basir. Now here we got two of his names at the end of it. But he started out by saying that he's not like Lesa Kamithli Hishayin. Methla, like? No, not like. He is not like anything, but he is Samyun Basir. He is, it says, hearing and seeing, except that he is Al Basir, which means he is not just having sight. Sight is coming from him. Sound itself, hear, the ability to hear sound, that is him. Do you understand? We even can't comprehend it, can we? Not really. It's way beyond our capability to comprehend that he is the epitome of these attributes. So don't ever compare anything, regardless of how small or how big it is, because Allah is greater than. What do we say? What is the word that we use all the time? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Greater than. The problem with other religions is when they talk about their God, they have this problem of making him like something that they can relate to. Especially if they try to make him like a human being and say that he is like a father or a son or a daughter or a mother. Because then you really can start making some big mistakes about Allah. Human beings have shortcomings. There's nobody that's perfect. Isn't that true or false? Every human being has mistakes. Now, do we have anybody that's a Christian with us today? Any Christians with us? It's okay, nobody's going to attack you. I just wanted to... okay. In the Bible, in the New Testament, it tells us, that, and by the way, we don't accept the English Bible being the one that came to the prophets, because we know that there was no English even 1,000 years ago. That didn't happen till the Normans invaded the Saxons in the year 1066 AD. But according to the English Bible today, it says that Jesus, peace be upon him, was hungry, and we know God doesn't get hungry, and he goes to a tree to get some fruit. But when he got there, he couldn't find any fruit on it. So he cursed the tree and damned the tree, right? So that was a mistake. Why would he walk all the way up to the tree and then go, hey man, did not... No, God would know that, true or false. Okay. So we're seeing something here that when people try to say, for instance, that that was God, it's just like when people said the tree was God. Tree was created by God, no doubt. And maybe the tree gave you benefit that you needed. You needed benefit. I was hungry, I was starving, and I was saying, oh, if I just had some food, and then I look over, oh, there's a coconut tree. I can get some coconut, a banana tree, mouse, I get something to eat, I'm happy. Wow, does that mean the tree is my God? So some people worship the trees because they thought that's where it came from. Who created the tree? And who created Jesus? So if you know he has a beginning, Jesus was born, yes or no? That's the whole miracle. That's what you're supposed to believe. That's what Jesus told us to believe. If you don't believe in the miracle birth, you can't be a Muslim. True or false? He's a miracle birth. That's what you have to believe. So he was born. Obviously he was small, right? I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to think about somebody walking out full dress. That's not going to work. So he was a baby and he grew. God doesn't grow. God is constant. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. Stop and think about it just for a second. If God could change anything at all, wouldn't you be afraid? Because how could you count on him if he could change? He could change his mind. What if he changes his mind? Now, again, according to these English translations of the Bible, the God of the Bible changes his mind a bunch of times. Yeah, he even said he repented of creating human beings, which mean what? Hey man, I'm sorry, I created those guys. Let me just do them in. No, it says it. That's what it talks about when he is telling Noah. And Noah's like, whoa, wait a minute, hold on. And so Noah's trying to save people. He builds the ark. And I should say Noah, alayhi salam, we know him as a prophet. And he's trying to get people to go with him, etc., etc. And I want to go to the subject of salvation real quick. Not the main topic, but let's stick that in there. We've got a couple more minutes left. Noah actually was the first story of the Bible about salvation. Because all of the people were about to be destroyed, except for the fact that there was a real righteous man, which was Noah. And so anybody that Noah could get to jump on a boat with him was going to be what? Be what? Saved. Right or wrong. And they were saved. They got on the boat and they were saved, along with some animals too. Right? So that plan of salvation was the salvation of their time. Great. And as soon as the people landed, after the water went down, everybody acted real nice and there was no more bad stuff going on in the world. Right? Wrong. Right away, there was a problem. Noah was so happy and excited according to the Bible, not according to us. He got drunk. Immediately. He got soused, according to them. We don't accept that. Then he fell asleep. I'm sorry, ladies, to mention this. He fell, according to the Bible, he fell asleep naked. And his son saw that. Okay? And so they're like, uh-oh. So two of them get some kind of cover and they walk backwards and walk back until they like maybe fall down, I don't know, and then they drop the cover over him. Okay. And when he wakes up, he gets mad and curses one of them and damns him and kicks him out. True or false? It's in Genesis. You can read it. I'm asking you. Was that a good plan of salvation? I don't know. Later on we find that the people in a place called Sodom and Gomorrah were about to be wiped off. They were going to be destroyed. Except what? Again, a righteous man. Very righteous man is there, true or false? So the plan of salvation is what? Just go with him and leave. And whoever would go with him, they would be saved. Right or wrong? And they left. But his wife, according to the Bible, turned around and looked and turned into a pillar of salt. Boom. Actually, if you know Hebrew, you know that some of those translations were mixed up. It's not exactly what happened. In fact, if you read the Quran, you'll find something amazing. She actually didn't turn to a pillar of salt. She just stayed there and was destroyed. And by the way, some people interpret what they read from the Bible to mean that they were homosexuals. Of course, we would never say something like that in today's world, would we? Or would we? But in any case, with that again, not the subject. I'm just talking about God. So if God keeps changing his mind, if God's going to be a human being, if God can't figure out stuff, hey, I got to save these guys. Let me try something else now, you know? When the people that followed Lut, his name's pronounced Lut, by the way, not Lot. That's English. His name is Lut. And then you can read this in Hebrew if you want to. Up to you. Doesn't matter. Nobody's going to punish you for mispronouncing their name, okay? But anyway, so the followers of Lut were basically his own family, right? His daughters went with him. Now, what was the whole situation? What was the story? According to the Bible, he was offering his daughters to these men who said, no, they'd rather have men. Right or wrong? And this is a horrible thing, right? Really bad. Now, again, we got the story about a prophet falling asleep, only this time, not about getting drunk and falling asleep. He just fell asleep. And then, so the daughter, I don't want to go into this anyway, you know. You know the story? Is that kind of a nice story or a bad story? Bad story? You should read the Quran. We don't have anything like that in there. There's no stories like this in there. Okay. And then the other one said, hey, why don't you, you know, you can do that tonight. And again, I'm going to tell you the story. So my point is, if this is salvation though, how is this, it doesn't sound very good. But the one that really got me is when they tried to say that somebody else is going to die for your sins. What a great concept. Would you like somebody to pay all your bills for you? No, I'm asking you because I heard a preacher tell us that while we were sitting in the congregation. He said, wouldn't you like to have somebody pay all your bills for you? Of course I would. You want to pay my bills? Take them. This is great. And pay for them every month. Every day, just paying your bills and paying your bills. You can go out, charge up your account, have a great day. Huh? Have a great life. Then on the day of judgment, this is a quote, that all you have to do, all you have to do is show your Jesus Christ gold card and you go in scot-free. Got a note here. It says, Sheikh, why do you look so cute on TV? I just want to ask one question. Is this from the brother's side or the sister's side? I'm talking about Lot and all the rest of it, so I don't know what's going on here. Okie dokie! What is that about? I bet he didn't think I was going to do that. Don't mess with Texas, boy. I am enjoying so much being here with all of you. I have to tell you something. I was very surprised when we arrived because all the way, since we booked this, it was months ago, they've been giving me a hard time back home saying, what are you going over there for? You can't speak Chinese. But I did brush up on the Chinese just in case. I didn't realize so many people knew English. I didn't know that. But I did brush up a little bit. I can say chop suey and chopsticks. Got that down. Alhamdulillah. Somebody is going to pay all your bills? The problem with that is, just let's do a little game real quick, you know. And this is what happened when I thought it through using just plain old Texas brain, you know. I said, imagine this, okay, a bunch of us, you know, we're going to go into the cafeteria after church. We're going to say, that's what they do after church. Everybody goes to the cafeteria. And while we're sitting there, somebody said, oh, discharge everything to this guy, okay. So we all eat and have to take all the stuff we want. Then we all leave and he's the last one out. When he gets up to the cash register, she says that'll be $437.12. He goes, what? The buffet says $9.99. So that's for one. We have to charge you for everybody. What? I didn't say I'm going to do that. Well, they said it. Well, I don't care what they said. I got my own problems here. Now I'm going to ask you, do you understand this? Now I'm going to ask you again, do you really understand it? Because according to your Bible, it tells you that Jesus was praying in the Valley of Gethsemane, in the gardens of Gethsemane. And it said he was praying so hard that the sweat was coming down like blood from him, pouring from him. And he would wake his companions up, telling them, get up, get up. This is not the time to sleep. And what was his prayer? Let this cup pass from me, even so your will be done. Let this cup pass from. What does that mean? I don't want it. It means I'm not going to. I don't. You know that what they had a custom that as the cup went by. Too much sugar. As the cup goes by, you drink from it, and it means you're in with the deal. You're accepting it. But if you don't sip from it, you're not in with the deal. That was what the expression meant. Let this cup pass by me. I don't want to participate. In other words, I know what's going to happen here. It's going to get really bad. And the leaders of the temple had brought forth Roman legions. Legions means a huge number of troops. And they were coming after Jesus because they had alleged that he claimed to be the king of the Jews and that he was going to be leading them against the Romans. And so he became, according to them, a terrorist. In modern day language, they were labeling Jesus as a terrorist. And they went, and this is his own people selling him out to the people in authority. I'm sure glad we don't have people like that today. But anyhow, to come back to our subject, if you understand that Jesus is asking, I don't want this thing. I don't want this thing. I don't want to see my guys getting killed out here. And then we don't want to be killing people. It's not really what we want to do. So was his prayer answered? Yes or no? If his prayer was answered, then he didn't go to the cross. So was his prayer answered?
Yes.
So if his prayer, according to us, his prayer was answered. Does that make you feel good? We know his prayer was answered because God would never turn him down. Now, we don't accept that part of the John 3:16 that said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But we accept it this way. God so loved Jesus, he would never turn him down on his dua, on his prayers. If he asked for something, Allah give it to him. Allah did that for all the prophets. When they would raise their hand and ask, he would give it to them. Make sense? But according to whoever did this retake of the Bible, they said, no, he didn't get what he wanted. I want you to follow with me on this. So if you think that Jesus can stand up for you like a lawyer on the day of judgment and take all your sins, did you forget he didn't even get what he asked for in your own Bible? And now you're going to depend on this on the day of judgment? What if somebody lied to you? What if they lied? Just asking. Because if you use your brain and start following this, you're going to think, well, wait a minute. That doesn't work. Again, I want to go back to that same verse, the one we find translated in the Gideon's Bible. Look at it again. For God so loved the world, it says, that he gave his what? Only. Does it say O-N-L-Y? Only. And then the next word, begotten. Yes or no? Son. Yes or no? Three words. I want you to look at these three words. Only begotten son. So that's it. Do you believe that? Christians, do they believe it? They believe that, don't they? Uh-huh. Okay. But does it say Jesus in that verse? Does it say Jesus in the next verse? Does it say it in the verse before? No, it just said his only begotten son. And then it said that whoever believes in him as what? It doesn't say. It just believe in him, they are not going to die. They will have eternal life. They shall not die. They will have eternal life. Yes or no? They're not going to die. Allah said in the Quran, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut." Every single person will die. Immediately after that, I'm going to ask you, what is the salvation of a Christian? They say, Jesus died on the cross. So what, he didn't believe in the verse? You just got through saying whoever believed in it wouldn't die. And then right after that you said he died. So evidently he didn't believe in it. And for 2,000 years, anybody who preached it, I promise you, they're all dead. It's not to pick on Christianity. I'm telling you for your own good, you cannot convince atheists ever to come to a religion that's so contradictory. You just got through saying, believe it, and you won't die. Then he said, Jesus died. And what do I have to believe? I believe in Jesus, that he won't die. But he did die. Well, sort of, but not really. Because if I explain it the right way, you know, if I talk long enough, I can convince you that three is one. But that's another subject. What we're talking about is God is one. In fact, he's so uniquely one, he has a special name. A special name, a real simple name. Say this, Ahad. Say that, Ahad. Do you like that name? Ahad, 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 Ahad. That's the word that was being said by a slave. A slave who had been ripped out of his home and taken as a slave and had to do the bidding of the people that had him as a slave. And they didn't want him to accept the belief in the God of Adam, the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, and the God of Jesus Christ, and the God of Muhammad, peace be upon them. He wanted to say how God is so uniquely one. And they're saying, no, it's Allah, well, Al-Uzza, and you will accept the gods that we have because you're our slave. And he's saying, no, Ahad, Ahad. And they whipped him and they beat him so bad. And then they took him in the desert, in the burning sand, and with his back bleeding, threw him down and put a boulder on his chest. And he couldn't breathe. He was, Ahad, Ahad, Ahad. And he would have died like that because he was never going to change. Except for the fact that Islam is so much against slavery that Abu Bakr used the money that he had, everything he had, he went and he said, I will pay so much for this man, just let me have him. They said, what? It was an unbelievable amount of money. They said, sure. And they took it. They said to him later, you know, we would have sold him a lot cheaper. He said, well, you know, I would have paid a lot more. And as soon as he had it, owned him, he released him and said, you're not a slave anymore. But to come back to this word, what is Ahad? Okay, usually translators to English say it means one. They say it means one. But the word in Arabic for one is wahid. Wahid. Now in the Quran and Hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that that's another name of Almighty God. He is wahid. Al-wahid. Somebody can be Abd al-Wahid, right? Wahid. That's one. But ahad is one with no two going to come after it. It's so uniquely one, but we in English, miskeen, we don't have this word. We don't have the word, so we just say one and one, like we said God and God, right? So uniquely one that we say he is Ahad. Nothing like him. So don't say God is everywhere. Don't say God is the creation. God made the creation and everything in it. And everything in it needs God, but he doesn't need it. Does God need to eat? Think about it. We're talking about God, the creator of everything. Does he need to eat? Some people get confused, I guess, you know. They know that Adam and Eve were put in the paradise, told eat anything you want, except don't eat the fruit from this tree. Can I ask you a question? How many of you believe that's a true story? There really was Adam, there was Eve, and there was some fruit, and they were told don't eat it. You believe it? You have to if you're a Muslim. Put your hands up. Come on. Wake up, guys. There we go. Why? This is what all kids love to do to their parents, right? Why? Well, because we have to go now. Why? Well, we'll be late. Why? Because if we don't... Why? Because why? 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 So that little kids can get... Why? Was it that Adam and Eve were told, eat anything you want, drink anything you want, this is your paradise, except for one thing, don't eat the fruit from that tree. Why? Was God going to have a snack later? Astaghfirullah. I'm sorry, but really, if you know the answer to this question, you understand the reason we are here today, and that's my subject. If you know the answer to that question, you know why we're here today. Why? Who knows the answer? Put your hand up. Why? Fadl check.
Obey.
That, close. No cigar.
Yes.
Who said that?
Someone.
Somebody in a white outfit? In a red beard? This is a test from Allah. You and I, brothers and sisters, are no different than Adam and Eve in that respect, that we are being tested. Yes or no?
Yes.
We're being tested. Make sense?
Yes.
That's what this life is about. Does God already know ahead of time what we're going to do?
Yes.
Yep. So then why? We'll go back to that again. So why? Is it so he can learn what we're going to do? Did God know that Adam and Eve were going to eat the fruit?
Sure.
Duh! That's why he put it there. But it wasn't about eating. It was about what do you do when you disobey? Now we're coming to your part of it. For obedience. It's to test our obedience. And he already knew they would disobey. This brings us now to the subject again about salvation. Who in this room has never sinned? Please raise your hand. If you do, you're just adding one more sin, by the way. It's called lying. True or false? This brings us now to the subject again about salvation. Who in this room has never sinned? Please raise your hand. If you do, you're just adding one more sin, by the way. It's called lying. True or false? So all of us have sinned. So what was the reason for putting the fruit there to start with and tell them don't eat it? Because you already know what they're going to do. You tell anybody not to do something and leave them in a room, they're going to be like, He said, don't read that book. And there it is. It's laying there. And you're like, well, don't read the book. Yeah, he said don't read it. But still, read any other book. But don't read it. I'm not really reading. I'm just like opening it. I'm opening it. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to look at the words. But I'm not going to really read it. You know what I mean? Like, wow. There really is a God. And there's only one God. Oops, I read it. I read it. Because human beings will do that. One of the things, I'm going to digress just for a moment, if you allow me. Brothers and sisters, when you go to our website, it's called whatsislam.com. That one's not up here. Whatsislam.com. Not what is, what. What, W-H-A-T, letter S, I-S-L-A-M.com. Go there and download it. When you make copies of it, it's a PowerPoint presentation with audio. Downloads really fast, even here in slow internet Hong Kong. When you... I'm spoiled. I live near Washington, D.C. Everything, we got the fastest internet in the world right there. In fact, you guys move in Hong Kong, we already know it in Washington, D.C. before you got to move. Anyhow, I want to come back to this. When you burn this CD for the project that we have, you can download it and give it to anybody you want. But if you put on there, what's Islam, they're going to say, I don't want it, I don't need to be a terrorist. Okay? They're going to say, I don't want this thing, some religion. Ah. So what we recommend, you put a big question mark on it, nothing else. Huh? When you do that and give it to them, tell them, if you would just check this out, put it in your computer, check it out, then get back to me, I have a question. I'll ask my question when you get done. Call me or email me, right? Because what are they going to do? That question mark is going to drive me insane. They will put that thing in the computer eventually and watch it. And then when they call you up, Okay, what was your question? Well, my question is, how'd you like it? Okay, so, but to come back to our subject again, why did God create us? Did God already know everything that was going to happen? If you say no, you're negating verses in the Bible, you're negating the teaching of the Quran, you're saying no to what Prophet Muhammad said, and in essence, you're really saying God's not really God. God has to know everything. Who created it? Shouldn't he know what he created? Shouldn't he know what's going on? There should be no guesswork left at all. It should be a done deal even before he created it. So what is the purpose of putting us here? Why make us go through all of this? Hey, is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Okay, just give me heaven. That's it. If that's all there is to it, if it's a test, I'd like to sign up for the heaven deal, please. You can charge it to my gold card, whatever. Why? It's very simple. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, told us that the first of things created by Almighty Allah was a heaven and a hell. Before he created people, he created a heaven and a hell. Then he created the beings for those places. And he could have put them in their respective places immediately. Immediately. But then the ones in the paradise might say, well, we're here because, of course, we deserve it. And the ones in the hellfire would be saying, hey, why am I here? I don't deserve it. But after going through this little short test called life in the world, everybody will be presented with their deeds on the day of what? Judgment. Now, there's actually something even more intense there that a lot of folks don't know about. In Arabic, we know about it. It's called Yawm al-Hisab, a day of reckoning accounts, settling up for what you've done, and the day of judgment, and God is the ultimate judge. Alaysa Allahu bi-akham al-hakimin. Isn't Allah the best of judges? And He will judge. But yet He already knows. So how is that judgment? Oh, and then, by the way, who's going to produce the evidence? Because maybe I could say, well, no, I didn't really do it like that. It was kind of like, you know, and I didn't really mean that. No, come on. So we know in Islam that your own eyes will say, do you know what she made me look at? The ears. You know what he made me listen to? Huh? Now the ruling on music, go to our website for that. I'm not going to talk about that today. And the hands, you know what he made me do? And the feet, you know what he took me? And la 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 la. So your body parts are going to testify against you. Wow. So now if you thought you had somebody as an intercessor that's going to defend you on the day of judgment, how? When your own body is telling on you? Whoops. So you and I were all created so we could go through this test. And along the way, He's going to help you if you want help. Who in this room does not want help from God? I don't need God's help. I don't need God's help. I don't want it. I don't want it. I'll handle it on my own. Who does He think He is? God? Oops. So we all want His help? So, all you have to do is what? This is the most beautiful part. And I pulled this from the Bible as I was coming to Islam. I suddenly woke up to what the teaching of my Bible was in front of me. But you know what? Have you ever heard the expression, you can't see the forest because the trees are in the way? Huh? Yeah, it's like, I can't see your fingers. Where are they? They're in front of your face. Yeah. By the way, any of you wear glasses? Huh? Have you ever done this? Have you? You know what I've done? Huh? Have you kids seen my glasses? Has anybody seen my glasses? Where's my glasses? Dad, they're on your head. What are you talking about? They're on your head, Dad. No, they're not. Yes, they are. Oh. Oh, there you are. What I found in the Bible that made me understand, really understand, it happened as I was asking God to guide me. Guide me. And everything kept pointing to Islam. And I'm going, I know that ain't right. But it kept coming back to that. And things were happening. People were saying things. A priest, a Catholic priest, accepted Islam. He lived with us. And I was thinking, a Catholic priest? This is impossible. God, guide me. Guide me. Now look at this. In the Bible, New Testament, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will open. Now the first part, you know, seeking, we should be looking around. Okay, and that's what I was doing. I said, God, I'm seeking. I'm looking. I'm asking a lot of people. I'm even talking to Muslims about religion. Ask. And I'm asking you. But what does it mean? What does knock mean? And open. And it will open. What will open? What will open? I'm going to tell you what really happened. My friend, the Muslim, brought a Quran translation and laid it on top of the counter in our store. I said, what is that? Is that your book? He said, that's the Quran. Now, my preacher buddies had told me, whatever you do, don't read their book. Stay away from them. They got a demon, boy. They're hijackers, terrorists, kidnappers. You don't want these people around you. But whatever you do, don't read their book. And there it was. It was laying right on top of my counter. I said, oh, my God. Oh, God. He said, well, go ahead. I said, no, that's okay, you know. I got other things to do right now, kind of busy, you know what I'm saying. But after he left, it was there, you know. I kept looking at it, and I thought, I'm not really going to read it. You remember that, right? Just I'm going to look, you know what I'm saying. But before I open it, God protect me from any evil while I look in this book. I said that. Can you imagine this? How do you say that in Arabic? God protect us from any evil. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. What do Muslims always say before they open? Protect us from the evil of the devil before we get into this. So I don't always say that. I didn't know I was saying the right thing. I had no clue. Oh God, protect me while I... Oh, what is this? In the name of Almighty God, the most gracious, the most merciful, the ruler on the day of judgment. It says here, all the praise is due to the one God. The most gracious, the most merciful, the only ruler on the day of judgment. You only do we worship and you only do we turn to for guidance. Guide us on the straight path. Hey, that's what I've been saying. Guide me. Hey, there it is. Guide us on the straight path. The path of those that have your favor, but not the path of those that have your anger, and not the path of those to go astray. That's the first chapter. Finish. That's easy. Well, I thought these guys were terrorists. That sounds like the prayer I've been saying. In fact, God, guide me to do your will on earth as it is in heaven. By the way, if you said God's will be done on earth, you're saying Islam. Because Islam means to submit to God on His terms. Do what God wants you to do. You said you believe in God. Everybody here said they believe in God. I couldn't find anybody who took exception. Do we have anybody now? Is anybody here that doesn't believe in God? By the way, I dare you to say that in front of all these people. So now the question is not whether or not you believe anymore, is it? Are you ready to do something about your belief? Do you want to do what God wants you to do, or you want to continue to do what you want to do? Simple as that. Because if the answer is in the affirmative, yes, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to fulfill my purpose. I want to live up to what the test is about, which is very simple. What Adam and Eve had to do after they ate the fruit is the same thing you and I have to do after we sin. What is it? Repent. Simple. What is that in Arabic? Tawbah. Turn back to God. God, I'm sorry. Don't tell everybody else your business, okay? Zip it. I remember in the days of the revivals in the Baptist church, you know, when people used to get up there, I used to be a drinker, and I used to be a stinker, and I used to do this and that, and me and that lady over there, oh, shut up, boy. This is not what Islam is about. This is between you and God. It's not for showing off. You made mistakes, I made mistakes, but who needs to know what our attitude is now? He does. In fact, when you came through that door, you were one person. But if you want to be a better person when you go out that door, it's very simple. Very simple. God, I'm sorry. Give me another chance. I'll do my best. Guide me. Guide me. Then I looked at the name of the chapter. The name of the chapter in the Quran. It was right in front of me. The opening. The opening. That's the name of the chapter. Knock. Knock. And it will be opened. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
When I realized that, I don't have any choice. It's clear. It's crystal clear. Yes, there's a God. This whole universe didn't come about by an accident. And yes, He created us as men and women from the very beginning. He didn't make us out of monkeys. Why would God need to do that anyway? That's really dumb. And if people came from monkeys, why do we still have monkeys? Come on, get over it. That's called a theory. I'm talking about a fact. There's God. There's us. Who's in charge? Who's the master? And who are the slaves? If we want salvation, if we want to be successful in this life and the next life, there's only one way. Accept God Himself as your Savior. Repent to Him. And don't put any middleman in there. That is the biggest test of all. Don't break that first commandment. There is no God beside God. He has no daughters. He has no sons. He has no partners. There are no gods beside God.